tonight. So I believe we've been doing a little thing on true happiness. But again, we'll step out of that for a couple weeks. I'm preaching that revival and that youth camp. And then we'll get back on that when I get back. But tonight we're going to talk about faith makes the difference. Faith makes a difference. And so obviously if you're trying to succeed at something and you try this way and it didn't work, and you try this way, it didn't work, and you try this way, it didn't work, and then you try something else and all of a sudden it works, you're like, ah, that was the key. That was the key to success here. That's what made it happen and things like that. Of course, we see that in life. We see that in relationships. We see that in success and failures and things like that. But the Christian life, it should be wrapped around faith, because the Bible says without it, it's impossible to please God. And that's what a Christian is supposed to do. It's not God's will that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth and get saved. And then after that, he wants us to grow. And we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. And faith is what makes the difference. You can't get saved without faith. You got to put your faith and trust in Christ. You can't grow in the Christian life without faith. You got to have it, and so that's what we're going to look at tonight. Faith is what makes a difference, or faith makes a difference. In Colossians 2, 4 through 7, we'll read these verses. Colossians 2, verses 4 through 7, and it says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." So again, there's always these get-rich-quick scheme guys out there, or these pyramid people, or you got to do this. This is what will make the difference in this. And so what they're doing is trying to get you to get on their scheme or their pyramid and, help them out too and so forth. And so, you got to do it this way. This is the only way. There's people out there like that in religion. You got to be this religion or you can't get to heaven. Or you got to be a member of this church or you can't get to heaven. Or you got to do this, this, and this or you can't get to heaven. And they beguile people. And that is sad to me. Obviously, it does happen. And so forth. So Paul's telling the church at Colossae here, you got to be careful who you listen to. Like they say today, it was on the internet, so it's got to be true, right? I've seen stuff of just blatant lies, out on the internet and things like that and so forth. But anyway, so you got to be careful, and that's what Paul is telling here. Listen, have faith in what the Bible says, have faith in God, and watch out for those that would take you away from that or beguile you in any way. Then verse 5 says here, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit." So in other words, Paul's like, look, I came there, I led a lot of y'all to the Lord, I helped start that church with God's help and things like that, and that ministry is established. And even though I'm not there, I'm still praying for you. I still love you. I still want you to be blessed of God. I still don't want you to be beguiled and so forth. So even though I'm not there, you're still in my mind and you're still in my heart, and I'm praying for you. And it says here, joying and beholding in your order. And so when he heard, back then, obviously there wasn't cell phones or texting or even emails and things like that. So he had to hear by word of mouth or some type of message and things like that. And he would hear, hey, they're growing. That church is still doing good. And that this person, they led their first person to the Lord. Or this person's teaching Sunday school now. Or this person, got this right in their life and so forth. And came and made things right and so forth. And he heard that. And so that's what he's saying. He's like, I get excited. I'm happy to hear the order of things that are going on over there. And then steadfastness of your faith in Christ. In other words, they got out of church. No, they're steadfast. They're still coming to church. They're reading their Bible. They're growing in grace. They're growing in their faith and their knowledge of the truth, things like that. And so Paul's like, be careful. But I'm excited when I hear good things. Then he goes on to say, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. So just like you got saved by faith, walk in faith. Add to your faith virtue and add to your faith this and so forth. The Bible teaches us that. So he said, just like you got saved, you put your faith in Christ now to make those decisions, to know how to live, to do what you're going to do for the Lord, do what you're going to do for your family, things like that. Do it the same way. Put your faith in God and God will help you. And then here he goes to say, and the reason I'm saying this is because in the last verse there, verse 7, rooted and built up. And so Paul knew about the seed being cast onto the stony ground and it not taking root. And he knew about the weeds or the garbage not being taken out and the weeds choked the life out. and things like that. And he knew about these deceivers, and he knew that the devil would, you know, empower these deceivers, and the devil would get them discouraged, and the devil would, you know, say, you know, that's not, you know, this, that, and other, and that he would lie. He said, the only way you're going to make it and not be deceived by these deceivers and not get away from the Lord is to be rooted. And then he said, and built up. And of course, those of you that have anything to do with construction and so forth, that foundation is important. And as high as it goes up, the lower in that ground it needs to go to give it stability and so forth. And there's different ways to do that and to make sure it's secure. And that's exactly what Paul's saying. In our Christian life, the more we grow, the deeper we need to be rooted. And we need to do this by faith. So he said, rooted and built up, because he knew this. Only two things can happen in the Christian life once you get saved. You're either being built up or being built up, or you're backsliding. That's the only two choices we have. All right? We don't have a third option, or like, well, I'm just going to do it a different way. No. When you get saved, you're a child of God, and you're either going to increase your faith and grow and become what God wants you to be, or you're going to be backsliding and getting, you know, away from the Lord. That's our two options. Just like there's heaven and hell, there's being rooted and built up, and there's backsliding. And so Paul was encouraging him to root, get rooted, and build up. And it says here also, and establish in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therewith thanksgiving. And so, in other words, Paul's like, look, I don't want you to, and I'll steal a phrase from our day and time, I don't want you to fly by the seat of your pants. I don't want you to be a fly by the seat of your pants Christian. Okay, let's wing it. This is what we should do. Let's, you know, just throw that up there. Things like that. No, I want you to be rooted and grounded and established. And just like the Bible says, a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. I want you to step by step by step by step. Be rooted and be built up. So do it on purpose. So get saved by faith and then grow by faith. And then as you're growing, obviously, he says, okay, you've grown to the point where God now wants you to serve by faith. Actually be a witness, actually be a testimony, actually be an encouragement, actually be a teacher, or actually do this. And that's found in Acts 16, 6 through 10, where it talks about serving God by faith. And we'll see here, and there's some words in here that I'm probably going to pass over because they're weird names of towns. But in Acts 16, 6 through 10, it says here, now when they had gone throughout this weird place, it was a region of Galatia, I got that one, all right, it says here, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the Word. So in other words, here they are. They're saved by faith. They've been rooted and grounded by faith, and they're growing up in their faith. And then now they're wanting to be a witness. They're wanting to get people in church. They're wanting to get people saved, things like that. And the Holy Ghost said, whoa, 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 don't go over there. And then you're like, wow, but I thought it's not God's will that any should perish. And so forth. But the Holy Spirit was guiding them, and they had to follow Him by faith. It's kind of like the Bible says, cast your pearl not before the swine. In other words, I've seen this. You go up to a group of people, and you try to pass out a tract, or you try to invite to church, and there's a group of people, and you get, da, da, da. Get out of here, you holy roller. We don't want anything to do with that Bible Bob and rah, 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 rah. But if they were individual by themselves, they might have listened and so forth. That's what it's talking about. So at this point, the Holy Ghost was saying, don't go over there because they won't receive it. I mean, you'd be casting your pearl before the swine. They wouldn't see it. You're going to be wasting your time at this point. And so, anyway, it says here, they were passing through another place that I can't pronounce, down toward Taurus, and it says here, and it says, and a vision appeared to the Apostle Paul at night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed and saying to him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So God allowed Paul to see this vision, it says here, and after he had seen this vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering in the Lord at he had called us to preach the gospel unto them. And so, again, they were saved by faith. They had grown. They got rooted and built up by faith. And now they were serving by faith. And so they had to be directed. And so, again, I've experienced this outdoor knocking. Again, you can tell by the look in their face and by the response that you're getting that if you just even try, you know, they're going to get more aggravated. And so you listen to the Holy Spirit and say, well, you know, just please take the tract, read it when you get a chance, things like that. You don't want to, that's why the Bible says in Proverbs, remove thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. So that's what God's saying here. There's sometimes that, you know, you got to listen by faith to know when and what to say. It's kind of like, you know, if a friend of yours was, you know, you maybe had given them some advice and they didn't take it, and then the failure came because, you know, they weren't doing something biblical. That's not the time to go over there and go, nah, 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 I told you so. That's probably not Spirit-led, right? You know, you're like, you know, I was right. I'm a better Christian than you. No. We got to be led by the Spirit, even in serving God. And so maybe we just pray for the person and say, I'm here for you. If you need me, you can call me anytime. And that might be what the Holy Spirit was saying. So they had to even learn when to preach and when not to preach. When to pass out a tract, when not to pass out a tract. When to say something encouraging and definitely not get in the flesh and say, I told you so. But anyway, so we see here Paul and Silas, they were great men of faith, and they had prayed. And so then they sought guidance of God, and then they followed it. And so that was the key. And so they were praying, okay, Lord, we've established this church, or we've established this church. Now where do you want us to go? And so by faith, they were praying. And they sought God's face, and then God allowed Paul to see this vision, and the man saying, over here in Macedonia, come over here. And so again, we see here that faith made the difference in all this thing. Putting our faith in Christ got us saved and saved in forever. Putting our faith in Christ will help us grow and get rooted and grounded and built up where we don't listen to those deceivers and we don't get sidetracked, things like that. Then we actually can serve the Lord. But even in service, you got to listen to the Holy Spirit and put your faith in what He's saying. So what we're going to look at here tonight, we've got a few more statements by the way of introduction, and then we'll look at the outline. So faith makes a difference. Faith gets us saved, faith helps us grow, and faith helps us serve. That's what makes a difference. And so here's a couple of statements. Faith makes life exciting. Faith makes life exciting. When you don't know every step to take, there's a little bit of a angst there. There's a little bit of maybe adventure. And hey, let's just watch and see what God does. So faith sometimes is exciting. Obey and watch what God does. And so if God says, do this, well, let's see how that's going to work. Put your faith in what He says, do it and watch. Again, we saw some of that in Sunday school this morning with the feeding of the 5,000, being hospitable, things like that. Tell them to sit down. We'll take care of them. We don't have anything to give them. But God told them to sit them down in groups. Okay, God, we don't see how you're going to do this, but you said to sit them down in groups of this and groups of this, and we would pray over what we got, and we'll pass it out. And of course, we know there was 12 baskets full. Why? Because God is amazing. If you listen to Him and do what He says by faith, life will be exciting. Number two, faith makes life flexible. All right, faith makes life flexible. Some people are very flexible. They just, what they call, roll with it, roll with the punches. You can't get them flustered. And that's a great, character trait. I don't have that one. All right? But we'll just roll with it. It's going to work out. It's good. That's what faith does. You know why? Because we realize that God is in control of everything. And if He allowed this to happen, He must have wanted it to happen. So I'm just gonna be flexible and roll with it. And faith makes life flexible. God can move everything where He wants to. He can make life changes and make it okay. Faith is flexible. God, I don't see what you're doing, but I'm just going to put my faith in you. And Job was a perfect example of that. Joseph was a perfect example. There was many others that were perfect examples of having flexible faith. Next one is this. Faith makes life progressive. Faith makes life progressive. So in the Bible, we see that the seed has to be planted and the seed has to be watered. And God gives the increase, and the person gets saved. That's just step by step. You have to do that. That's just the way God is. Faith makes things progressive, step by step. Same thing with building up our faith. God says, well, okay, there's positions out there that I need filled, but we're not going to put a novice into that position. So in other words, it's step by step. They're saved now. They're reading, they're growing, they're making the changes in their life to become the child of God that God wants them to be. Then the next step would be this, and then the next step would be this. So that faith is progressive. You hear the Word of God, you listen to the Holy Spirit, you get saved. You get saved, you start hearing the Word of God and adding to your faith and growing in Christ, and then you start serving in that next step. So faith makes life progressive, step by step. And of course, I've already quoted that verse, a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. So faith also makes life unselfish. You know, we ought to all have these. Some of us aren't very exciting. You know, your team could win the World Series, and you're like, woohoo. You know, some of us are not very flexible. My way or the highway. You got it? That's it. All right, we're not very flexible. Progressive, no, I just want to go from 0 to 100, like that. I don't want this step-by-step stuff. So, but faith helps us to get excited. Faith helps us to be flexible. Faith helps us to go progressive, but also faith helps us to be unselfish. We just have to put our faith in God. Faith put God, you know, puts God over everything. And of course, we've heard the acronym there, the acrostic, Jesus, others, and you. That's how to have real joy. It's a step-by-step thing, and it shows to be unselfish. And last, we got one more. Faith makes life victorious. Faith makes life victorious. So in other words, if you'll put your faith in God, guaranteed win. Guaranteed. There's no failing. Now, you might have some mistakes, and you might have some things that you falter in, but you're on the winning side. You are going to heaven, and you're going to spend eternity with Him. And if you live a life of faith, He can help you. But the Bible says in 1 John 5:14, faith that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory, the song says. And so when we put our faith in God, He will help us have victories. And so forth. So faith makes a difference, so we should do these three things. We'll look at these three things real quick, and we'll be done. So first thing, so faith is what makes a difference. What should I do? I should build my faith. I should build my faith. Ephesians 2:8, we read it this morning. For by grace are you saved through faith. So we should build on that. So salvation is by faith in Jesus, and then we're commanded to build up our faith. And we ought to do whatever we need to do. And the people that that do not do this, it's obvious. It's kind of like, you know, you can see a newbie at the workplace. You can see a newbie on the sports team. You can see somebody that's not comfortable. They haven't done it long and things like that. So same thing. If a person is not growing and being rooted down and built up in their faith, they're going to stay as what, like the Bible calls, babes in Christ. And so in other words, they're behaving, thinking, and acting just like they did 10 years ago when they got saved. Why? Because they haven't rooted down. They haven't built up. And faith is what makes a difference. If we don't do that, that's why we stay babes in Christ. So we see here we're commanded to build up our faith. And how do we do that? We'll look at a few things underneath that one. By the Bible, of course, Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we talked about that this morning, that we have an every word Bible. God says, man shall not live by bread alone. Or as I said this morning, by mac and cheese, pork chop, pretzels and cheese, and that nutty buddy that I had to have. All right, man shall not live by bread alone, but we need it by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we have to have this. So this is what's going to build our faith up. And we look at it, and we claim the promises, and we put into practice the principles, and that's how we build our faith. We get rooted down. Well, the Bible says, well, the Bible says, well, the Bible says. And I've had people ask me, is that your answer for everything? It needs to be. I try to make it that way. You know, because that's how you root it down and you build up, and you're the testimony that God wants you to be, and God can bless you like He wants to bless you, and you can be used like God wants to use you, and things like that. Why? Because it's rooted down and it's built up. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Mark 11:22 says this: when Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. According to that book right there, we could keep on going. Obviously, Jesus saves us. He came and seeks us and saves us, that which is lost. And then once we get saved, the Bible says that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and He prays for us. He prays that those deceivers don't deceive us. And He prays that we have the power to do what He wants us to do. And He prays for us. He's concerned for us. He loves us, and so forth. But then we see here that this verse says, and when Jesus saw their faith, you know, when you're watching a grandkid, You know, I got to do this last summer, I guess earlier in the summer, I got to watch my oldest grandson play baseball. All right, and I have had the privilege to help him learn to throw and learn to catch and learn to hit and things like that. And so when you're watching him, like, okay, yep. Ooh, yeah, that's good. I'm sorry, that's just me, okay? I'm too aggressive, I'm too competitive, things like that. But when he does what he was taught, I'm excited about that. You know, not doing this. That's not how you catch. You don't catch with your eyes closed. You definitely don't do that little bended knee thing. You don't do that. Right? You catch it. You're not scared of it. And so that's what Jesus is saying. Look, I told you in the Bible what to do. I'm praying for you. Ah, yeah, they're getting it. Yes! And he sees our faith and he's excited about it. And it says here that we build up our faith by the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we start getting it. The Bible says in Mark 11:22, when Jesus saw their faith, he was pumped. He was like, they're getting it. This is awesome. Now I can bless them like I want to. He sees it. And then Luke 17:5, we've had a whole lesson about this where his disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And so that's just like saying, stick them to a bulldog. God says, I've got power here. I've got wisdom here. I've got some blessing here. And I want to give it. Okay, it's kind of like throwing a candy throw to some kids. I got a whole bucket of candy. Whoa, you got their attention. All right? Okay, you can have some if you can quote a Bible verse. And I mean, they'll start quoting Bible verses. You can have some if you can answer this question. And I mean, they're just like, oh. And that's what he's saying here. You know, if you're asking me to increase your faith, done. That's what I was waiting on. I wanted to be able to help you. And so that's how we build up our faith, through the Bible. And then secondly, we see here we build up our faith by being thankful. Not only do we build up our faith by the Bible, we build up our faith by being thankful. And of course, I've heard this statement before, and you probably have too. The only way to be thankful is to be thankful. All right, so you got to think about it. And that's how we build up our faith. We sit down. I believe the Bible calls it meditating. And say, well, okay, this situation, this is what happened, and this is what I did. Ugh, I remember that verse says you shouldn't have done that. So I need to fix that. That's good. Or we can say, all right, you know, this situation came up. I prayed first. I looked for a Bible principle first. I put it into practice first, and God blessed it, and it's good. And so I'm thankful that that took place. And so this is how to build up our faith. I mean, the Bible's right. God is right. If I do this, He will do this. And he can't break His promises. The Bible says He can't lie. So in Colossians 2:7, we've already looked at it, but it says here, abound in thanksgiving. A person that's thankful, obviously, is thankful, but he's also appreciative of what God's done. And this is how to build our faith. So in other words, if we look back, and I talked about it this morning, with me getting saved right here, we talked about Maddie getting saved right there and being thankful for that salvation. And hopefully you had a little salvation experience of remembering where you got saved. And we're thankful because we're thankful, and that's going to build our faith. Yes, I am saved because I remember. And so we're trying to build up our faith by being thankful and being thankful for our salvation, and then being thankful and thankful for our life. If we're thinking about it, how am I alive today? Because God's causing the air to go in and out my nostrils. God's causing my heart to pump, and that blood's going back and forth. God's the one that's keeping me alive. So I'm thankful for that because I was thankful for how I'm alive, and that builds my faith up. That I'm just not an afterthought. I'm just not a human that lives and dies and that's it. No, I'm a creation of God. And He's the one that's keeping me alive. So I'm thankful. So then now I'm thankful. And that builds my faith up that God's in control. Then we thank God for His guidance. You know, if you look at your life, and again, there seems like, and I believe it is mathematically, there's more back that way than there's this way. All right, so I'm thankful. And thankful for what all took place back there, but I still want to do as much of this as I can. And so I'm thankful for His guidance, that He guided me to a church to get saved, that He guided me to a college to get trained and to find a great wife, and He guided me to an area of service, and He guided me as we raised our kids, and He guided me all the way to right here, and He's going to guide me all the way to glory. And so we see here, I'm thankful about that guidance. And now I'm thankful for about that guidance. And that's just rooting it down and building it up that God's in control. He's going to help me with His guidance. Here's another one. I'm thankful and thankful for His protection. There's so many times in my life that God has kept me from heartache and kept me from destruction and kept me from hurt. Why? Because of His protection. And so forth. You know, I remember, you know, having a, I can't remember if it was a flat tire or out of gas. If I was with Brother Harris, it would probably have been out of gas. but I think it was a flat tire. I think it was on a youth trip. And oh man, I was out there sweating like crazy, changing that tire. The kids were like, and I'm going to do it. And so, you know, it made us 20, 30 minutes late. We had to send the mass text out. You know, we won't be back to the church until this time. So we're driving. And I mean, there's trees in the road, there's pine straw, you can't even see the road, and you're like, what happened here? And you find out when you get home that a tornado came through that area, and if I hadn't had the flat tire, I'd have been right in the stinking middle of it with all those kids in that van, and God just protected us from that. Thankful. Oh, God can take care of me. He can protect me. And provisions. I mean, I could just give you story after story. God, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't see it. Here you go. And God provided. So you got to be thankful and thankful for those provisions. So in other words, we see here how to build my faith up. Get in that book. How to build my faith up. Think and be thankful and see what God's done for you. Next, how to build our faith up? By prayer. The Bible tells us that we ought to season everything with prayer. And you know, failing to pray is going to just, you know, it's going to hurt your faith. So we have to build our faith up by praying, saying, God, I know the Bible says this. God, I know I'm thankful for all these things that You've done for me. And I know that You're in control. And I know, and we just tell Him about it. Prayer will build it up. It'll root it down. It'll build it up. And then very similar to the being thankful by remembering. Remember your salvation experience. Remember answers to prayer in the past. Remember God directing your life and chastening when you needed it. I'm thankful for that. I know my dad, I grew up in a different day, but it was rough. But I can honestly say that I deserved every bit of it. And I'm thankful. Because I could be in jail. I could be dead. I could have a life ruined that I couldn't serve God. Praise God for the chastening of the Lord. And so that'll build your faith. And so when you get out of the line a little bit and the Lord does something, He's like, I did that because I love you. I did that because I'm trying to get you back in there. And so you remember the chastening of the Lord. But then you also can remember, like we talked about this morning, I remember asking Him to forgive me. He did, and He'll never bring it up again. It's been forgiven. And remember that. So faith is what makes a difference. So we ought to build up our faith. Secondly, if faith makes a difference, I want to build it up. Secondly, if faith makes a difference, this is what I want to do. I want to guard my faith. I want to guard my faith. If you have something that's precious to you, you put it in a safe place. You take care of it. You put perimeters around it. Things like that. You know, your money, your weapons. You got to take care of those, right? Oh yeah, wife. We need to put wife in there. She's in the nursery, so I'm safe. But anyway, you know, we need to protect things that we have that are prized possessions. Our faith is a prized possession. Our faith is what got us saved, so we're going to heaven. Keep it. Our faith is what helps us grow in Christ. Our faith is how we can serve God. So we ought to protect that faith. I'm going to guard it. Why? Because we have an enemy. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:11, tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And why does God tell us to do that? Why? Because He knows you have the faith that you have, and the devil's going to try to squish it. The devil's going to try to keep you from getting it, first of all. But if you get it and you get saved and you start growing, he's going to try to beat you down, knock you out. Why? Because he knows that faith is what's going to keep you going on for God. So we got to guard that faith, that shield of faith, that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness, that sword of the Spirit. We got to have all that thing to protect our faith, guard our faith. Satan will try to tell you to put it off. He'll try to pump up our pride so we're useless. He will try to beat us down so we're so much doubt that we couldn't be used by God. He'll do whatever he needs. So we got to guard that faith. He's going to roar like a lion and try to beat us down with it. So he will try to get you to doubt this book. Just like we talked about that a little bit this morning. He asked Eve, yea, hath God said? He just wanted to put a little bit of doubt on it. So we got to guard our faith. That's where our faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we got to guard that book. All right, believe it, trust it, and say, God gave it to me. He provided it for me. And we got to protect that. And then we see here that he will talk about things. He will take things out of context in the Bible. He will do everything that he can to cast doubt on this book. There's people that have added things to it. He won. There's people that have taken away things out of it. He won. So we have to guard our faith. I'm not letting anybody mess with this. I'm putting my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is His Word, and He said He would give it to me and protect me. So we got to do that. Not only will He try to take our faith away from us and take our Bible away from us, He will try to take church away from us. That's why the Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail against this right here. Okay, the only thing that can hurt this is right inside here. So that's why we all have to guard our faith and root it down and build it up and behave like God wants us to behave. And so that helps us. He will try to get us out of church. He will say, you know, hey, you can worship God anywhere. That sounds like a good statement. Okay? You can worship God anywhere. And it's a true statement. But He says to forsake not the assembling. And He says on that first day of the week, bring your tithe unto the storehouse. So we have to do what God says. You know, there's people, again, they'll go out in nature. I'm going to go worship God in nature. You know, tweet, see animals. Oh, God, You're so great. That's fine, but that's not how God says to do it. So to root our faith down and build it up, we're going to have to do it like God says and make sure that the church is part of it and trust Him. And then the third thing, He'll try to keep us from serving God. He will try to get us to put things more important than God. And in our life, in this world today, you can see that there's people that have, and I'll just give you a list here, they've put money over God. And you got to have it. It didn't say it was evil. It said the love of it was evil. And so that's what people will do. I've got to have money more than I have to have God. And our faith, to guard that faith, is we've got to say, I got to have more God and enough money to make it, but I'm not going to put that up there. Position. They put position in front of God. They've put fun. The Bible says lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I mean, it's in there. And there are people like that. I got to go do this because it's fun. And they put that right above God, and their faith, if they even have any, will crumble. So He'll try to keep us from serving God. He will try to keep us or try to get us to quit totally on God. You know, quit going to Sunday school. Quit working with the young people. Quit going soul winning. Quit singing. Quit giving. Quit going. Quit. That's what he had. So we got to guard it. That faith, the devil's going to come and say, you've done that enough, or you know, just enjoy life and just quit. We got to guard our faith. Next, he will try to get us to be disappointed in people. And just like he's successful about putting money in front of God and position in front of God or fun in front of God, and just like he's able to get people to quit, he will get us to look at people and be disappointed to lose our faith. And I promise you, people will disappoint you. If I haven't in the year and a half I've been here, just give me time. I will disappoint you. All right? I'm human. I'm flesh. Okay? So don't keep your eyes on me. What does the Bible say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He will never change. That's how you guard your faith. If you put your faith in me, I'm going to blow it. I promise you. If you put your faith in this church will blow it. Put your faith in God. Guard your faith. And again, I've used these illustrations before, but I've had pastors that that's my pastor. And I mean this and that and other. And they change Bibles. And they quit going to church. And they do wicked things. And so if that's where my faith was, I would be done. But my faith's not in a man. My faith is in God. And so we root it down and we build it up. And He won't fail you. He's not going to change. He's not going to quit. He's not going to do something stupid. But God will keep. I mean, He's always the same. Yesterday, today, forever. And so if we put our faith, by guarding our faith, I'm putting it in God. Now again, y'all, pray for me, please. Why? It's my responsibility to preach the whole counsel of this book. It's my responsibility to pray and to be what I need to be. So please pray for me. I need your prayers. I need God's help. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a disappointment. I don't want to be a distraction. But I'm telling you, don't put your eyes on me. Put them on Him. And what did Paul say? Hey, you can follow me for a while because I'm following Him. But what I want to do is get you to where you just look right over me and look to Him. Because He won't ever fail you. He's the thing. And so we got to guard our faith by putting your faith in God, not in people. Okay, put your faith in God, not in places. The college that I went to, I would not recommend it these days. Why? Because they are not the same institution they were when I was there. And so if my faith would have been, man, I got to go to this college and they're gonna just open my head, osmosis, or they're going to open my head and put all this knowledge in there and close it back, and I'm just going to... No. You don't put your faith in a place. You put your faith in God. I've had friends that I grew up with in high school, that I went to church with, that we loved. They're out of church or they're out of God's will. Friends will fail you. You got to guard your faith. I've got family members that are not living like they should. I love them. I pray for them. But my faith is not in even my family member. So my faith is in God. How do I guard my faith? Put my faith in God, not in pastors or places or friends or even family. Why? Because they will fail you. They will disappoint you. You don't root your faith in your whatever. You don't build your faith in that list. You put your faith in God. Why? Because He never changes. So how do we build our faith? We build our faith, we guard our faith, and lastly, the third thing we do, and we've mentioned this before, we've got to use it. Use it or lose it. Those of us that are getting up there in age, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. All right? You go outside, man, I've done that for years. Oh! you got to continue. So faith is like that. You got to use your faith. You can't just, okay, here's my faith. Put it in the cabinet, shut it, I'll pick it back up next Sunday before I go to church. No, God wants you to use your faith. You're saved, you're being built up, and you're supposed to serve God. So use your faith, even in small ways. We saw this in the Sunday school this morning. And I believe the one verse says, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, God will bless you for that. And then He was telling His disciples, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And all this whole list. And they were like, I don't recall that. I don't remember that. And He said, well, if you did any of those things to the least, you've done it unto me. And so we have to use our faith and use it to serve God with. And secondly, we even need to use our faith even if people make fun of us or ridicule us for it. Again, we've heard it all our life. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And, then some people are like, yeah, they do hurt. Emotionally, they hurt. And I get both ways. But what we're supposed to do is just serve God. They hated Him. He said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. It's going to come. And so, but I use my faith, even though there might be ridicule. Come. Then third thing, we use our faith even if you don't think it's working. Even if you don't think it's working. There's things that we do, and just do it, and do it, and do it, because it's right to do. I don't see how it's working. I guess those terrible twos, some of you are in the terrible twos right now, and then some of your kids carried on to the threes and the fours and the fives, and you're like, ugh! And you're like, man, it seems like all I do is correct. All I do is get on to. All I do is spank, or all I do is this. Ah, it's not working. And then lo and behold, you see what they turn into, and they're putting God first and they're living their life, and you're like, wow. And again, if that happens, what we did helped. But it's them giving their life to God that got them on through. And so what we've got to do with our faith, I just look at this world. I'm trying to be a witness. I'm trying to be an example. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to be nice. And it doesn't look like it's working. I mean, this world's getting worse. So what's the use? Oh, it's working. And I heard of one visitor we had this morning, and they were here because of somebody else, because they've seen Christ in their life, and they've seen how they've handled situations, and they talked to them and said, "Where do you go to church?" Well, she said, "Well, I go to this church, but if I lived where you live, I would go to Lighthouse Baptist Church." And she was here this morning. Okay? Because it works. You talk about it. You be what God wants you to be. And it says here, even if you don't think it's working. Obviously, we talked about that not too long ago, about the enjoying the trip on a Wednesday night from Egypt, the wilderness, to the Promised Land. There was people that griped in Egypt. They griped on the trip, and they even griped in the Promised Land. "These giants are too big. There's no way we can do it." There was people that served God in Egypt. There was people that served God in the wilderness. And when they got there, they were the ones on Joshua and Caleb's side saying, "Hey, God can do it." So even when we're going through life, don't complain. It's working. Use your faith. We're going through life, don't fall away. Use your faith. Don't be critical. Use your faith. Don't whine. Use your faith. What's the Bible says? Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh yeah, and again, I say rejoice. So we got to use it. How can you rejoice in 2024? How can you rejoice, you know, whoever gets in the White House next? Because my faith's not in that. My faith's in God. And He says in this book, if I would build it down, or root it down and build it up, He will use me. He saved me. He's helping me grow, and He'll help me serve. So how do we build up our faith? Or we build up our faith, we guard our faith, and we use our faith. All right, so let's have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation if you'd like to come pray. The altar will be open, and then we'll go eat some watermelon. So let's all stand. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day, and thank You for the Word of God. Lord, thank You for our faith. Lord, I know, obviously, preparing this, I thought about when I got saved. I thought about when You called me to preach. I thought about all these things that we mentioned tonight, Lord, and thank You. And Lord, I ask You to help us, Lord, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, step by step, day by day, just trusting You, taking that faith and build it up, taking that faith and guard it, taking that faith and use it. Lord, I just ask You to have Your will and way in the rest of the evening. In Jesus' name. Brother Derek's going to lead us an invitation. Altar's open. If you'd like to come, ask the Lord, "Lord, help my faith. Increase my faith. Help me to build up my faith." Altar's open.